wonderful epistle to the churches of Galatia. And a lot of people were affected by the ministry of this man, the Apostle Paul. Each one of us can no doubt say, because of this man, our lives have been affected. He is the apostle to the Gentiles, that's you and I. Thank God that God would love us enough to give us an apostle. Amen. Somebody that closely connected to Christ. You think about that. He wrote this epistle, as many others, to not just one church, but churches in Galatia. Many churches that were scattered throughout that province of Asia Minor. And in writing to them, the Lord, I don't want to get ahead of myself, the Lord had burdened my heart over a week ago to deal with some of the things that was happening in the book of Galatians, because it's a lot of the same things that is happening today. The apostle wrote to them in so many words, and he talked to them about their liberty, their salvation, their freedom, the grace that they are to experience as a child of God. And he warned them, because there are always those among the believers that could either be a believer and carnal or just lost, simply lost. And I know that any saved person, listen, I'm not ignorant. I'm ignorant about a lot of things, but I've been in the ministry for over 30 years. I know that a saved person can get out of the will of God and get himself in a mess. I know that. I'm not preaching that from the time you're saved, you're supposed to be sinless. But we're to strive to not sin. To not live a life of sin. That grace, if it is real grace, Bible grace, God's true grace gets within me and you. I mean, it does something in our life that teaches us to deny those things, doesn't it? That's what the Bible said. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And Paul is writing to them, there's so many ways that you can look at this. That, listen, the Bible, when it says what it says, it means what it says. But what I'm saying is that there are multitudes of things within inside each chapter that we can see that Paul dealt with. The writing of the Word of God is so rich in that it says what it does, and the truth is evident right in front of us. But yet at the same time, mixed with that, there are so many things that he deals with on each page, verse by verse. You can be talking about grace and predestination and free will all within the same chapter. Amen. I mean, think about that. But Paul here is warning them in chapter 4 about them desiring again to be in bondage. Desiring to be in bondage. People actually desiring, saying that they're saved and having a desire. Now, they may not realize that they're desiring to be in bondage. Surely, nobody would just desire to have their hands and their feet tied and to be thrown in prison. But listen, when you desire the wrong things, you're actually desiring bondage. Why? That's where it is headed. Sin is a reproach. Sin bringeth forth death. Sin is only pleasurable for a season. And then it's bondage. He talked to them about the yoke of bondage. And he talked to them about not being entangled again. You see, before God saved you and I, we were in bondage. We were bound. Bound by it. Bound by sin. Bound by one way. Bound in darkness. We were entangled in our lostness. Are you listening? And the grace of God that came to you and I saved us out of that. Washed us free of that. Clean of that. Amen? I mean, I want to tell you something. You have never seen such an easy time to lay aside sin as when you first get saved. I mean, when God speaks to you after you first get saved, if you just confess it to Him, I promise, no matter what it is, you can put it down easy. Why? Because God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit is there working mightily in your life. But the more we disobey, the more we walk in, into those things and don't yield unto the Lord, then it becomes harder and harder to lay those things down. And are you listening to me? It becomes harder to get out of what we have been entangled in. And here's what the Lord spoke to me about the other day. He said that the big majority of what you and I are entangled in, we have weaved the web ourselves. Many times we lay the foundation for the road that we're going on. And so God have mercy upon us. But what I want to look at this morning, the first thing that I want to look at is back in chapter number 1, verse number 10, Paul said this, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Do I persuade or please men, or do I please God?" One of the two. One of the two, our life is going to either please God or it's going to please men. Now, when I say to please men, it is those around us. Also, it is our own flesh. Do I seek to persuade men, please men, or do I please God? The Apostle Paul asked this great question when thinking about being in bondage and being entangled, how you and I, our relationship with men and with God will be affected by those things that you and I are entangled in. It will affect our life, our characteristics, everything about us, how you and I live. We will either be men pleasers or God pleasers. We will either be pleasers of our own selves or pleasers of God. In verse number 10, he said, I do not identify as the servant of Christ. Are you listening to me? If I am a pleaser of men. You could say it that way. We are not the servant of Christ if we are to please men. We cannot be. It is one or the other. The Lord always made statements of such. You're either for me or against me. You're with me or against me. The apostle made mention, you can't drink at the Lord's cup and at the cup of devils at the same time. You can't eat at the Lord's table and at the table of devils. And the other apostles mentioned, James and Peter, you can't have a fountain of good water and a fountain of salt water coming out of the same spring. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so you cannot be the servant of Christ. And what a lot of people today want, they want the title of servant of Christ and please men at the same time. And you cannot. In verse 11, the gospel that Paul said that he had received, it's not of man. It's not man conceived. I cannot receive it of man. The gospel that you and I had received, it's not of man. It's not man conceived. I didn't receive it of man. Man does not help you spiritually concerning the gospel. He doesn't even bring it to you. The flesh does nothing concerning the gospel. How the flesh has no part with the gospel. Are you listening to me? It does nothing to bring anyone the gospel. Man is not teaching it to me in verse 12. The carnal man is of no benefit to a spiritual life. It is revealed to us by the Spirit of God and concerning the revealing of Christ, the revelation of Christ. It is the Spirit of God and the grace of God that brings that revealing of Christ. He reveals Christ to us. Man didn't do that. Man won't do that. The flesh doesn't do that. Your flesh, my flesh, it does not do that. People will never see Christ in the flesh. In my flesh. In your flesh. In this carnality, in what the flesh produces. Are you hearing me? It does not bring the gospel. It does not reveal Christ. You cannot have a spiritual life and live a life of the flesh and think that the world is seeing Christ in your life. Man isn't teaching it to you. Verse 13 and 14, you can, as Paul profited in the Jews' religion in verse 14. He said, I profited in the Jews' religion. And he was more exceeding zealous above others. Above others, he said, above many of mine equal. I profited in the Jews' religion. You may look more religious a lot of times than most. But yet, if there's another side of your life that always tends to man and to the world and to flesh, that's no profit at all. Paul profited in the Jews' religion. Was more exceeding zealous above the others. He said in verse 13, he said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past. That's my life. The life I lived. in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Beyond measure. I thought about that. Do you know what Paul was? Paul was so, I mean, he was super religious, but he was also a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Apostle Paul, before God saved him, he said, beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God. Beyond measure. And he said, my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted. You know what he would do? And the Bible backs it up. He would go in among the believers as one of them. And then he would trick them into blasphemy. Why? He knew so much about the Old Testament, he could have them twisted before they knew it. And have them say something or agree to something that was blasphemy. And then he'd bring charges against them and have their life taken. There are wolves among the sheep. You do know that, don't you? Those that want to profit in religion. Those that want to be, the center of what's going on at the house of, they want the things running here like how they would want it to run. Amen. And not necessarily how God would have things to run. Beyond measure, I persecuted the church and wasted it. He profited, had greater abilities above many of his equals, nationwide in Israel. He was more exceeding zealous of the traditions of his fathers. I'm showing you his relationship with man. He was all about God and the temple at times, but then at the same hand, he would persecute the true believer. Persecute true believers. There's something about folk that go to God's house that spend their time talking about the preacher and the deacon and the leadership. Are you listening? Or what's going on in the authority or the leadership of the church that's severely wrong. And it has everything to do with just exactly what Paul was doing. Wolves. Never satisfied. Paul was a wolf. Again, think about the standing that he had above many of his equals. More exceeding zealous in the tradition of his fathers. I said all that to say this. It had to be a true conversion from Christ, not of man, not of man, but of Christ, to draw him away and to cut him loose from that. Amen? I say they had to be something more than just what man had to cut this man away from what he was. And it was the power of God. The power of God working in this man's life brought him beyond the flesh, beyond man, beyond bondage, and beyond what everybody else thought religious should be. And saved him by his grace. Power that changed him, that changes you and I. Saving power. To get us out of that kind of bondage. It reflects on who we are religiously. Now in verse 15 and 16, he said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me. It pleased God to separate me, to call me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me. What a change. He said that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't talk to man about what I needed to do. No man. God's amazing grace, His power, God's foreknowledge even, had already, listen, seen Paul from his mother's womb. Called you, listen, the same thing. God knew where you and I were before the foundation of the world. To bring us out, why would we then desire to be in bondage again? Why would we desire to go away in disobedience from a God like that? From a God that is that interested in your life and my life. He's interested, by the way, in your life. He's more concerned about your soul than anyone. Insomuch that He gave His only begotten Son to die in your place, to pay for your sin and my sin. Now Paul, he said in verse 16, I conferred not with flesh and blood. When he said flesh and blood, he meant man, men, any man. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now listen, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. I've often preached that. But they must be scriptural, spiritual counselors. You can go and get the wrong advice from men. The wrong men. And you'll be a tangled person. Listen, a tangled person's not conferring, or they are conferring with the wrong men. To confer with the wrong men is a waste of time. There's no help. You get the wrong advice, go to the wrong people to tell you what you want to hear, it's not going to be any help to you. You're going to wind up tangled. So he said, I conferred not. But Paul sought Christ first in verse 17 and 18. Paul sought Christ first. He said, neither went up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. That was where he spent time with Christ. Christ first. Keep yourself from being entangled, seeking Christ first is your greatest option. To confer with the Lord on any matter, on any subject, on every subject. It's amazing what people that say they're saved will leave God out of their lives when making most of their decisions. And God is, Christ is supposed to be the bigger part of our life. Listen, He should be the one to decide whether it's time for you to go on vacation or not. Do you know that? He knows what's going to happen in the airplane and on the road. He knows from day to day what your life needs and what my life needs. He should be conferred with about a job, about relationships, about everything that has to do with our life. Paul conferred with him. This was one of this was the greatest thing to ever happen to the Apostle Paul. He's saved. Now what do I do? Man couldn't tell him that. But Christ could. Christ saved him. He called him to be an apostle. He gave him the New Testament doctrine to the churches. Can you imagine if Paul would have said, that's a good thought maybe to go and talk to Jesus about this, but I think I'll go talk to some of these others first. Some of my mentors. Some of the people that always tell me real good stuff. You know, there's a lot of people that's telling people real good sounding stuff today that's absolutely backwards from what God wants. Backwards. But he said, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Why? They were both stationed in Jerusalem. James was the pastor. Peter was supposed to be the lead apostle. So what did he do? He went to the two most spiritual men in the church after he talked to Christ. Why? Because, see, Christ is right even when they might be wrong. But he's going to go see what they say. Spiritual leadership. When you're entangled or in bondage, you neglect spiritual leadership. Listen, I'm not all for trying to get into people's business, but as a pastor, I'm here to pray for you. I'm here to give you biblical advice to try to guide your life. I do it on a weekly basis, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I do it by the phone. I go to people's homes. But some people want zero spiritual advice from their spiritual leaders. And that's why their lives, many a times, are living in and around the world, making the worst choices that they've ever made. Listen, a lot of us have children, and when we raise children, you better be sure you're making the right decision every time. Because their life is in your hands. And whether they get saved or turn out spiritual is going to depend a whole lot on what we have allowed them to do and how we have trained them. Listen, this is good stuff even if I'm preaching it. Amen. He conferred with Christ first, then the leadership in the church. Paul said in before God I lie not. In verse 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. In other words, God in heaven knows everything I'm telling you is the truth. People in bondage won't live that way. They don't want their life to be an open book. Why? Because they know what'll be read. And they'll lie about it too. People will lie about it. People will lie about things. Why? That's the nature of the flesh. To hide. Man loves darkness rather than light because wise deeds are evil. But he said about what God is doing in my life, living in lies is where a person headed to bondage lives. Living in lies. It's like this, parents, when you see your kid, they've got a smartphone on, and you get anywhere near in their vicinity, they cut it off. You know, I wasn't doing nothing. Oh, yes, you was. I'd hate to know God have mercy. What a lot of people are into today on devices. But God knows. God knows. God knows what we do in the secret. God knows, and He sees in the dark as good as He does in the day behind closed doors. One day God said, it said it on the rooftop. Hey, every man will give an account of what he's done, whether it be good, whether it be bad. Don't be in bondage. Don't be in bondage. Be able to have your life as an open book. I lie not about what God's doing in my life, Paul said. That may seem like a far stretch to you, and well, okay. But look what he said in chapter 2. Doing what is right and not doing the things to please the crowd. In chapter number 2, we see this one thing. And I want you to remember this. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 through 12, about offending a brother. And he said in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse 9, but take heed, you need to take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. See, when we're headed to bondage, we're being a stumbling block. When we're entangled in these beggarly elements, we are a stumbling block. You need to take heed. For if any man see thee, see, people's looking at our life. He's talking to them about, they had knowledge, sit at meat. In the idol's temple shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols. Let me read all this, then I'll break it down. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Let me tell you what a spiritual man will do. If he knows somebody's offended at something, he's not going to do that while they're around. He's going to do his best to not offend someone's conscience. I've got a friend that, it's a preacher, and he knows another preacher. And this other preacher, he's what we'd consider weak-minded concerning jewelry. He doesn't even think that a man should wear a wedding band. That's his prerogative. And this preacher friend of mine, when he meets that other preacher, he'll slip his band because he knows how badly that this man thinks of jewelry on a man, even a wedding band. So rather than offend his friend, and when he leaves, puts it back on. You say, Brother Mark, that's a hypocrite. No, that's not eating the meat in front of his face. People used to, if they knew that a Christian, that something offended them, there's no way. I remember going around Grandpa's house. We knew how he stood. There wasn't none of us going to wear shorts around Grandpa's house. No. And listen, I wasn't even saved. But we knew better than that. You don't do that. Why? He's a holy man. Man of God. Amen? You have respect. But what, I mean, if somebody's trying to live according to the Scripture, amen? But people's not ashamed in today that we're living in. And you know what people want to say today? They'll get all over Facebook. You know, I don't care what people think and this and that. You should care about what people think. The apostle said here, he talked about if you offend this weak brother for whom Christ died, you sin against Christ. If you know that something really bothered Brother Mike on a spiritual level, and you did that around him, you'd be sinning against Christ as much as you would be against him. Do you know that? Now, it doesn't work the other way for worldly people. You know, Brother Mark, all your convictions offend me. Well, I'm sorry about that, but I'm not changing that. It's talking about liberties that people feel that they can take or not take. Liberties, not your personal biblical stand, your personal biblical life, your personal separation and sanctification. Amen? But liberties called in question. Liberties called in question. If it's a question, don't do it rather than do it. These weak believers follow easily a defiled way. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. I mean, they're emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols. Their conscience is defiled. They're emboldened to sin. Somebody else sees you do something. And I've seen this with a lot of Christians. They see other church men. Well, they do it, and they're happy, and I'm going to do it. That's a weak-minded person that will just give in to the flesh because somebody else is doing it. They're doing it. That's a weak mind. That's a weak mind. And you're going to wind up entangled if you're not already entangled. A lot of times people are more entangled and in bondage to things of this world before they even realize that they are. It's already in their life, in their home. Amen. I love you this morning. I do. I love this church. I love this church. I love you people. If I didn't, I wouldn't tell you this. I wouldn't tell you none of this. I wouldn't preach none of it. I'd stay far away from it. I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. My desire is not to hurt your feelings. It's to show you a way that Christ would have us to live a life of liberty. Away from the world. Away from sin. Away from being in bondage. Things that are killing our power. Killing our joy. Killing our love. Killing everything about the spiritual life that we're to have in Christ. Our desire to even come to church will be affected. You get to the place where you're like, service time again? You're tangled up in something. And I'm not talking. I was talking to somebody right before service. I'm not talking about being out here and working just like a dog through the week and the heat beating you down and, you know, you miss a Wednesday here or there. Listen, I'm not for all that, but I understand it. I know sometimes the flesh just can't go another step. But we've got to learn where to draw the line with our flesh. Am I meddling? Or am I preaching to somebody, anybody? They're emboldened to sin. They sin against the brethren for whom Christ died, and you sin against Christ. Look what Paul said in verse 13 of that chapter in 1 Corinthians. I will eat no flesh. If it's going to offend that person, I will eat no flesh. I will not do what the flesh wants. That's a picture of not doing. Like he was talking about really eating flesh. eaten flesh that they had offered in the temple. Some men thought that they had liberty to go ahead and eat it. They prayed, asked God to bless it. They could eat it. Some men didn't think that way. He's talking about eating literal meat. But I see a spiritual application there too. How much flesh have we been eating? Paul said, I will eat no flesh if it causes my brother to offend. Back over in Galatians, I'm trying to finish this up. I'm talking about how bondage and being entangled affects our relationships with others. In Galatians 2:9, Paul said, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars of the church, gave to Paul and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that's a spiritual act. The leadership there in the church, they are in fellowship with the leadership of the church, Paul is, Barnabas is. They gave them the right hands of fellowship. Listen, having the right hand of fellowship in the church is a great spiritual significance of not only the union between brethren, but the union between the Christian and Christ. Having that fellowship. The heads of the church giving the right hand of fellowship. What a spiritual action. Part of a great brotherhood. But if you go on down, in verse 11, 12, and 13, and 14, but when Peter was come to Antioch. Listen at the story Paul tells. I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Well, what for? For before that certain came from James, in other words, James sent some brethren from Jerusalem. Peter, he's talking about, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. You know what the flesh will do? Well, they'll be religious around certain people, but when certain other people come around, they don't have nothing to do with them. Why? They want to please them. They want to please them. People sometimes, listen, it's amazing how they'll go to church and smile in church with people, but you see them out, and they're with their friends or the world or another group. Don't want to be embarrassed. Peter didn't want them from Jerusalem knowing he'd been eating with them Gentile believers. So he treated them badly. He separated himself from them. Paul withstood him to the face. And he should have. He should have. And he did. He told Peter, you're wrong. Having fellowship with them. But when these Jewish believers come, you break away from the Gentile believers. If you're going to live like they live, then why are you turning yourself around when the Jews come around? Why don't you just be who you're supposed to be, Peter? He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Paul's right-hand man even got caught up in it. He saw Peter given the Gentiles the cold shoulder because the Jewish believers were there. And Barnabas was like, I said, maybe I should be over here with Peter and the rest of this crowd. Giving them, Barnabas got caught up in that. It's amazing what the flesh will cause you to get caught up in. Get caught up in someone else's sin. What somebody else is doing, the life they're living, people get caught up in that. I saw a picture the other day, this has nothing to do with this, but I saw three young people, and they're being charged for murder. And I saw one young man like this, and one young lady, she was kind of smirky looking, but then there was another one. And what it was, they went out to egg cars coming down the highway, cause somebody to wreck and get killed. Now the three's being charged by murder. And I thought, you know, she might be the ringleader. I mean, you know how people are. But I thought, she don't even look like them two. But it looks like she just went right along. With what somebody, how many people do that? They go right along with what somebody else is doing. How many young people have had their lives destroyed going right along with somebody else? Listen, parents, you lose your kids letting them go along with other kids. Amen? Children of God, you lose your way if you take the example of other worldly people and go after that. And for years, people have been following Hollywood as how we are to dress ourselves in the things we are to do. God have mercy. We need to take the Bible, the Word of God, as our prime example. Are you listening to me? People are being entangled in this world. They're being in bondage again. He said, why would you desire to be in bondage again? It's the relationships that they're in, and it affects the relationships that they have, the relationships they make, who they confer with. It has everything to do. Well, it has a lot to do with the people you confer with. It affects your life. It will. It'll affect your life. And our lives are affecting other people's lives. He said in chapter 3, verse 1, and I can't go here, coming back tonight. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Now they have been foolishly bewitched. You say, I've not been foolishly bewitched. Probably have. If worldliness is an attraction, I'm telling you, and I'm not wrong. The Bible says, love not the world. There's a lot, listen, all that's in this world, it's killing people spiritually. And people are being bewitched foolishly, tricked into just giving their souls up. Lost people, saved people, going right back in bondage. Being right back entangled. And that's exactly where the devil wants us. Don't be entangled. Don't let Satan ensnare you. Don't let somebody lead you into that. Don't confer with the wrong people. Mind your fellowship with the church, spiritual leadership. Mind how you treat others in the church, especially when you're out. If anything, we should be always attracted to our people. You see God's people out, boy, it ought to put a smile on your face to see them. Shouldn't be an embarrassment. I want you to stand. I'm done. Lord of mercy.